Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Allen Derry, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans. Just as a reminder that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors.
Hi, my name is Doc Griggs, and I'm a community medicine doctor and health literacy expert. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health literacy and communications expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know about COVID-19.
You can find more information about this show and our other daily live updates and Q&A show at noisefiltershow.com.
So let's get started.
Flu vaccine for children. This fall, pediatricians are urging parents to vaccinate their children against the flu as soon as possible, as the American Academy for Pediatrics released a policy statement advising parents to vaccinate all children aged 6 months and older against the flu, particularly with the return of classroom learning.
The surge in COVID-19 cases due to the Delta variant in the U.S. towards the end of the summer is currently straining healthcare services before the flu season has even arrived. That means that hospital spaces normally reserved for those seriously ill with the flu have already been filled by people infected with COVID. Now, furthermore, as flu cases were down significantly last year, likely due to pandemic restrictions and public health measures, children may have not built up as much immunity to the influenza virus.
And see, this is what scares me as a parent. Like, my kids go to daycare and school. This scares me because I kept them out all year.
Right.
2020. So yeah, this is scary.
Yeah. Just masking and vaccinations. And this story is vaccinations for children. So I assume that you'll be getting your children flu vaccinated this year.
Already done.
Done. All right. And you guys are vaccinated as well, right?
Yes.
Yes. And I've been vaccinated as well. So yes.
Dr. Flora Munoz, Associate Professor of Medicine at the Baylor College of Medicine in Texas, and the lead author of the policy statement released by the American Academy of Pediatrics, advises, during the COVID-19 pandemic, it's important to remember that influenza is also a highly contagious respiratory virus that can cause severe illness and even death in children, and that the flu vaccine is safe, effective, and can be given alongside other routine immunizations and the COVID-19 vaccine.
Now, children who catch the flu and are vaccinated are much less likely to have severe disease or be hospitalized. In fact, during the 2019-2020 flu season, so that was before COVID, almost 200 children died. They died of a preventable disease. So vaccines are incredibly important for young ones. Children under the age of 5 who get sick with the flu are particularly at risk of complications, including pneumonia, sinus problems, brain dysfunction, dehydration, and worsening conditions such as asthma.
My gosh, I did not realize all that was possible for children under 5 with the flu. Wow. Children can be immunized either from an injection or by a nasal spray. The flu injection contains part of the flu virus, mounting an immune response by producing antibodies so that if the actual virus enters the body, the immune system is more capable of fighting off the infection. The nasal spray works the same in that it is a weakened form of the virus so that the immune system can recognize it and prepare itself to fight the infection in the future. If breakthrough infections do occur after immunization, symptoms tend to be milder than for those without vaccination.
To keep children from getting seriously ill and to stop the healthcare system from being overwhelmed by both COVID-19 and influenza, adult vaccinations for COVID-19 and the flu and flu vaccines for children, along with social distancing and mask wearing at school, are essential. So your children are vaccinated, and that's something that you've always done because you've always believed in it, right?
Yes, 100%.
Absolutely. Stop all respiratory viruses at the same time. Yay, I like this one. This one was written by our co-host, Hope Hickerson. All right. Throughout history, people have eventually found ways to eliminate bacteria and viruses from public consumption. All it took were public health efforts designed to stop the outbreaks before they happened. However, the coronavirus has made it painfully clear that we missed something.
According to The Atlantic, London destroyed cholera in the 19th century with a new sewage system. The city's drinking water was intermingling with human waste, and they figured out that separating the sewer systems would keep people from dying. It works, and they never had another death from cholera.
Amazing. And do you know that not only, because my wife reminds me of this because she's a city planner, not only did that, what happened in London, gave birth to two professions overnight. One was the profession of epidemiology, which is what I do. And the second one was the profession of city planning, which is what my wife does.
Wow. I didn't realize that. Wow.
Right? Because they started to figure, oh, wait a second. Maybe if we plan how we build out a city,
right,
that couldn't affect the public's health.
Makes sense.
The United States eliminated yellow fever and malaria with a combination of pesticides, wide-scale landscape management, and window screens that work together to keep the number of infected mosquitoes down. One by one, other diseases such as dysentery, typhoid, typhus became a thing of the past as public health efforts worked to protect us all. Now, even with all of our efforts controlling the spread of disease in water systems and from insects, there was one glaring oversight: air. The air that is around all of us, the air we breathe that keeps us alive. We forgot about air. Had we shifted public health efforts to protect us from viruses that transmit through the air, we would have been better prepared when the coronavirus struck.
Right. Because in the beginning of the pandemic, the thought was that the novel coronavirus spread like the flu through droplets that quickly fell out of the air, so we didn't need ventilation or masks. However, after being in this pandemic for over a year and a half now, it's clear that tiny particles filled with coronavirus do actually linger in the air, making it possible for one infected person to become a super spreader in a poorly ventilated area. So only now are some scientists pushing to improve building ventilation and clean up indoor air. While the coronavirus has sparked this conversation about ventilation, this is not a new concept.
No, you see, there have been scientists that have recognized that the threat of a deadly airborne virus, such as the flu and colds, can also spread through the air. So could a life-altering virus like coronavirus. We've become complacent and just accepted colds and flus as inevitable, but they don't have to be. Why is it not a consideration to redesign the airflow in our buildings to prevent them, just like we redesigned the sewer systems to prevent cholera? We breathe in about 8 to 10 liters a minute of pathogens, according to Catherine Noakes. How's that for a statistic, Hope?
Right.
Who studies indoor air quality at the University of Leeds in England. Even with that knowledge, which now will forever permeate my brain,
right,
there was still little research done on airborne transmission of common infections. We just didn't see it as a problem until it became a problem.
Right. The Atlantic asks one simple question. How much disease are we willing to tolerate before we act? In some schools and workplaces, they're trying to do their part to clean indoor air by using portable HEPA filters, disinfecting UV lights, and even just opening windows. But these quick fixes amount to a band-aid in poorly designed or functioning buildings.
If modern buildings have sophisticated ventilation systems to keep the air smelling good, why not use those same systems to keep indoor air free of viruses too? It will take a lot of work, coordination, money, and agreement to completely overhaul building ventilation systems, but it's not outside our capabilities, as we've seen it before with other large-scale public health efforts. And at the end of the day, we have to decide what's more important and how many more deaths are we willing to tolerate before we act. Just as a reminder that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors. Doc Griggs?
Thanks for listening to the Noise Filter Daily Podcast. Dr. Derry and I have a daily show at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we go into more detail on stories and answer your questions about COVID-19.
You can find Doc Griggs at DocGriggs1 on social media, and you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at DRDERY. You can follow us at Noise Filter on Instagram, Noise Filter NOLA on Twitter, and for more information about us and the show, you can go to noisefiltershow.com. Hey, Doc Griggs, any last words?
Remember, get checked, get fit, get moving, and remember to get some rest to boost your immune system. And Doc?
Protect yourself and others by staying home, and please wear masks when you go outside. Remember, health is a human right.